Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. Roger, we've got an interesting question that we want to look at over the course of the next three Fridays, the rest of Fridays in the month of July. What about angels?
What about angels? You know, we use that word angel in a lot of different contexts. In California, there's a baseball team called the Angels. They need some heaven's help, I think, sometimes. Sometimes we'll see a cute little granddaughter, and we'll just call her our little angel. But throughout the scriptures, the presence of angels is found over and over and over again. We find angels visiting Abraham. We find angels throughout the lives of the prophets. When Peter was in prison, angels appeared and helped him out. In the life of Jesus, all through his life, from the announcement of his birth by angels, after he was tempted, they ministered to him. He referred to angels in his parables. He had angels at his resurrection, and the Bible says when he returns, he'll come with all the angels. So angels is a biblical topic, and it's one that we need to kind of think about and open up and get some biblical accuracy on this, because a lot of people have a lot of little ideas in their minds that they've just heard through the years, or they just kind of manufacture themselves. And when we look in scripture, sometimes the image and the picture we get is quite a bit different from that. Now, in coming weeks, we want to talk about guardian angels. That's something that a lot of people are concerned about. We want to talk about angels in our lives and what do angels do. But in this first lesson, what we want to talk about is just some basic fundamental things the Bible teaches about angels. And so where we begin is that angels are created spiritual beings. It's what the Bible teaches. They are not equal to God. They have not always been around. God created them. And we turn to our Bible to find that idea. In the book of Psalms, for instance, in Psalms 148, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest of heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." What is the they? The they would be the waters above heaven. It would be the stars. It would be the sun, the moon, the host, and the angels. A little bit earlier, also in the book of Psalms, in chapter 33, and in verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host." So sometimes the Bible uses the expression, the heavenly host, to also refer to that idea of angels. Now, the word angel itself means a messenger. A few times in our Bible, it refers to physical human beings. Not that they were angelic, but they were serving that term as being messengers. But in this study, we want to talk about those spiritual beings. We want to talk about the angels that God made and some things that we see and appreciate about them and some things we ought to learn about the angels as we consider these things.
Yeah, I think the idea, first of all, beginning with these are created beings, that helps us begin to put them in a hierarchy, for lack of a better term. We're not talking about deity. We're not talking about co-equals with God. You mentioned that the word means messenger. A lot of times in the English Standard Version, it's coupled with the word minister. Very, very, very similar. And I think when we think of it in those terms, okay, a created being who is expected to be a servant of God. Those are angels. You took us to a couple of psalms. I would add to that Psalm 103, verse 20 beginning, where the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones." These are mighty beings, but they have been created to do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts. God is often referred to as the Lord of hosts. And as you mentioned, Roger, that's simply a way of describing, okay, God is above these created beings. And verse 21 of Psalm 103 describes them as his ministers who do his will. It reminds me of the New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, that just straightforwardly asks, aren't angels ministering spirits? Now, the verse goes on to talk even about our lives, and I think we'll get to that in a little while. But these are created beings, created to be servants or messengers of God.
So they're basically the tools of God, and God has different purposes, different things he needs done and accomplished, and these were created beings to do those things, to accomplish that. Now, as we talk about angels, you know, usually one or two images comes to our mind. We see in some of these gift shops, these little figurines and cute, chubby little babies, you know, or these long, beautiful women that have wings on them and just long, flowing dresses. What about that stuff? Is that close?
Yeah, no, that is not in the Bible. When in the Bible we run across these beings, they are terrifying in many respects. We read in 2 Kings chapter 19 about the angel of the Lord striking down 185,000 Assyrians. Or one of my favorite passages along these lines is from 2 Kings chapter 6, where we've got Elisha and a servant, and this servant is just so scared about the king of Syria who has surrounded the prophet, and what are we going to do? He gets up early in the morning, this servant of Elisha, and there's an army of horses and chariots all around, and he essentially says, "Master, we're done for." And Elisha tells him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he's not talking about little chubby babies, you know, floating on little tiny wings. Elisha prays that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant, and when he does, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. We know that these beings can take on different forms. They appear in different ways. Oftentimes, of course, they are working in ways that we cannot even see with our human eyes. But they are not the Hallmark version that often lines the shelves of people in the 21st century.
There are two angels by name in the Bible. That's Michael and Gabriel. We find them in the book of Daniel. We find them in the book of Revelation, which kind of shows us that they're kind of ageless. But a spiritual being, as Jesus would tell us, does not have flesh and bones. And so you don't see that. They had to take on a human form a few times. But they weren't recognizable oftentimes. When the angel appeared before Abraham, he didn't know it was an angel. There were no wings, there was no halo, there was no chubby little babies. It just looked like a regular person, and there was a great lesson for that. Now, with this, because we hear this a lot these days, is that when a young person dies, they become an angel. What about that?
Yeah. There is no indication whatsoever in Scripture that a human being transforms into an angelic being. As you mentioned, these are created beings. They are not subject to age and frailty the way that we are in flesh and blood. I think eventually we're going to go back and explore a really important statement from Hebrews chapter 2 that, again, kind of introduces this hierarchy between God and angels and mankind. But we do know, according to multiple passages of Scripture, when a human being dies, my body gives out, my body eventually returns to dust, my spirit returns to the God who gave it, and ultimately, I am awaiting at that point judgment, right? There is no indication that, okay, when I die, I transform into a different kind of being. My spirit simply returns to the giver of my spirit.
And what's important about that, because sometimes that may seem like a higher rank to become an angel or a higher form, but Jesus never died for angels.
Yeah.
He died for us. Salvation belongs to us, not to angels. Angels are like a shovel. God uses them where he needs them, and then when he needs them no more, I guess they won't be around anymore. But we are made in the image of God. The angels are never said that they are made in that image. And that's something, again, we got to keep in mind as we kind of look at some things along this line. In Revelation chapter 19, just another background passage we need to remind ourselves. Revelation 19, verse 10, the Apostle John saw an angel. And it says, then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Great reminder that we do not worship angels. We do not honor them as we honor God. We don't praise them as we praise God.
We don't pray in the name of an angel.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, again, they are servants of the Lord. We don't worship human beings. We don't worship Mary. We don't worship Joseph. We don't worship Abraham. They all had a function. They all did different things. But God alone is the one who's to be worshiped, and that is important. Another fundamental passage, just as we're looking through our New Testaments, in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul was talking about the testimony of the Word of God and how absolute it was, he would say in verse 6, I'm amazed at so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what has been preached to you, he is to be accursed. Now, again, there's no indication that angels speak to us today, no indication that they're preaching to us today, but Paul's saying that even if they did, the Word of God surpasses that. The Word of God is God's foundation, and the apostles could not change that. The voice of angels could not change that. And that again, helps us to kind of keep some fundamental thoughts in our mind about the place of angels and where they are. Now, to that Hebrew passage, Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 9. Here it brings up a passage from the book of Psalms in chapter 8, but it's connected to Jesus here. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but we do see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now, in what way, Jason, was Jesus made lower than the angels? We said that there's, you know, angels are not deity. Angels are not to be worshipped. The voice of angels does not come before the Word of God. So in what way is Jesus lower than the angels?
Yeah, so what helps me is to put a couple of different pieces together here. 2 Peter chapter 2, in comparing how bold and willful some of these false prophets and false teachers were being in Peter's day, he laments, he condemns the fact that there were human beings who were bold and willful, who were blaspheming, and they weren't trembling as they do so. And to help us get a sense of how big of a deal that is, he says, Whereas angels, this is 2 Peter 2, verse 11, angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. So, okay, 2 Peter 2, angels are greater in might and power. I alone, as a human being, could not have struck down 185,000 Assyrians all on my own. No problem whatsoever for an angel, right? So what Hebrews chapter 2 is drawing our attention to is flesh and blood. In Hebrews 2, verse 14, the children share in flesh and blood. And since that is the case, he, Jesus himself, likewise partook of the same things. That's exactly what our attention is being drawn to here in Hebrews. You read verse 9 just a little before that in Hebrews 2, verse 5 and 6. The writer quotes from Psalm 8. He says, it has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. So we know that angels are not deity. They are created ministering spirits. They are profoundly more powerful and mighty than we are. And so in this sense that Jesus took on flesh and blood, for a little while he was made lower in that he had a body the way that we did. Now, I would very quickly add to that, even in flesh and blood, Jesus, the Son of God, was still greater than the millions upon millions of angels that we read about, for instance, in Revelation chapter 5. And I get that from, you remember Jesus in the shadow of the cross says, listen, I could call 12 legions of angels and bid them do my will. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and after the devil had left him until an opportune time, it was an angel who came and ministered to him. And so this is a multidimensional passage, I would suggest, in Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus always was greater than the angels, but in the sense that he shared with us in flesh and blood for a little while, in that sense, in his bodily sense, he was made a little lower.
Angels, since they're spirits, they don't eat. They don't have to sleep. They don't age. Jesus did well on earth. He had to eat. He had to sleep. We look at the Bible and say, well, he's 30 years old. He's 33 when he went to the cross. So there's a sense in which Jesus was like us. And I think that's the way that that's trying to describe that to us. So the 12 legions of angels, we have a song that talks about 10,000 angels. What was Jesus driving at with that?
Yeah, well, we can open our Bibles. It's back in Matthew chapter 26. And I mentioned that in the shadow of the cross. This is that scene in Matthew chapter 26 where Jesus is being betrayed by Judas. You remember that Peter and James and John are right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes with that crowd bearing swords and clubs and chief priests and elders. And if you remember, Peter draws a sword and is ready to literally, physically fight right there. In fact, he cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And it's in that moment, with perfect self-control and perspective on not my will, but the will of my Father be done, that Jesus says, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. This is Matthew 26, verse 53. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? There it is again. Angels are ministering spirits created by God. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels, tens of thousands of angels that would come just at the word of the Son of God.
For someone who doesn't know, what is a legion?
Yeah, a legion goes back to a Roman way of organizing troops, right? A legion was a collection of Roman soldiers. And so, if I remember correctly, 12 legions would be something like 72,000 Roman soldiers. They were just, we would call them today something like a battalion of angels.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you know, with that very idea, that very expression of Jesus, we're not told how many angels there are. The book of Revelation just talks about the multitudes and multitudes of angels, and God never reveals how many there are, but they're there. They have always served the purpose of God in the times of miracles. The angels were involved with helping the apostles get out of prison. They sent visions to different ones to try to get God's will crossed to them as they needed to see those things. But when we think about them, it just helps us to know that God has helpers, spiritual helpers to fulfill his will. And I think that's really what we need to take away from this first lesson about what angels are, is that they're tools of God to complete his will as he so desires.
Yeah, I would leave our listeners with circling back to one of the things that you brought up earlier. We know that angels have the ability to choose. And this is where, you know, we begin to get into the deep end of the pool and can only go so far. But we know from 2 Peter 2, from the little letter of Jude, that there were angels who sinned. Now, we might get deeper into that over the course of the next Fridays, but 2 Peter 2 verse 4 just plainly tells us, if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. And he goes on from there, you know, continuing his thought. How amazing, as we kick off this weekend and even we anticipate the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to think about the fact that we have sinned and God's own Son died for us. There is a plan of salvation for us. I think that little remark you made earlier, Roger, that the Son of God didn't die for angels. Angels are held accountable. But how amazing that we, even though we are lower than the angels, how amazing that the Son of God appeared in flesh and blood and gave his life for us.
And I think that the subject of angels, especially as you look at them through the Old Testament, you know, sometimes the enemy can seem strong, and that's what happened in Elisha's days. I mean, it just seems like there's so much bad. And sometimes the righteous people seem to be outnumbered, and it seems like we're going to lose. But to know that there's a host in heaven at God's beckoning that can do his will, and we don't see them, but they're there. And they don't come to our calling, they come to God's calling. And that ought to just assure us once again that God is the one who's victorious. This is not like watching a ball game and we're not sure the outcome, who's going to win, who's going to lose. We know who's going to win. God wins. The book of Revelation tells us that. And so our confidence is in the Lord and knowing that the Lord will do as he wills, but he will be triumphant in the very end.
Yeah. Roger, thanks for kicking off this little series with us. I mean, this is a deep rabbit trail that, you know, if someone opens a Bible or enters angels into a Bible search engine, I mean, you're going to find a lot of stuff. And Lord willing, we'll take this deeper. But we hope that this little introduction has gotten your curiosity buzzing, and that even after this episode is done, you'll open your own Bible and dig a little deeper. But Lord willing, we'll take it a step further next Friday. We appreciate you listening to the Heaven Bound podcast, and we hope our discussion has helped you set your mind on things above, giving you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.